9. Reconnaissance. We have now launched 5 long-delay flares down the axis of the cylinder, and so have a good photo coverage of its full length. All the main features are mapped. Though there are few that we can identify, we've given them provisional names. The interior cavity is 50 kilometers long and 16 wide. The two ends are bowl-shaped, with rather complicated geometries. We've called ours the Northern Hemisphere and are establishing our first base here at the axis. Radiating from the central hub, 12 degrees apart, are 3 ladders that are almost a kilometer long. They all end at a terrace, or ring-shaped plateau, that runs right around the bowl. And leading on from that, continuing the direction of the ladders, are 3 enormous stairways, which go all the way down to the plain. If you imagine an umbrella with only 3 ribs, equally spaced, you'll have a good idea of this end of Rama. Each of those ribs is a stairway, very steep near the axis, and then slowly flattening out as it approaches the plain below. The stairways, we've called them Alpha, Beta, Gamma, aren't continuous, but break at 5 more circular terraces. We estimate there must be between 20 and 30,000 steps. Presumably they were used only for emergencies, since it's inconceivable that the Ramans, or whatever we're going to call them, had no better way of reaching the axis of their world. The Southern Hemisphere looks quite different. For one thing, it has no stairways and no flat central hub. Instead, there's a huge spike, kilometers long, jutting along the axis, with 6 smaller ones around it. The whole arrangement is very odd, and we can't imagine what it means. The 50-kilometer-long cylindrical section between the two bowls we've called the central plain. It may seem crazy to use the word plane to describe something so obviously curved, but we feel it's justified. It will appear flat to us when we get down there, just as the interior of a bottle must seem flat to an ant crawling around inside it. The most striking feature of the central plain is the 10-kilometer-wide dark band running completely around it at the halfway mark. It looks like ice, so we've christened it the Cylindrical Sea. Right out in the middle, there's a large oval island, about 10 kilometers long and 3 wide, and covered with tall structures. Because it reminds us of old Manhattan, we've called it New York. Yet, I don't think it's a city. It seems more like an enormous factory or chemical processing plant. But there are some cities, or at any rate, towns, at least 6 of them. If they were built for human beings, they could each hold about 50,000 people. We've called them Rome, Peking, Paris, Moscow, London, Tokyo. They are linked with highways and something that seems to be a rail system. There must be enough material for centuries of research in this frozen carcass of a world. We've 4,000 square kilometers to explore and only a few weeks to do it in. I wonder if we'll ever learn the answer to the 2 mysteries that have been haunting me ever since we got inside. Who were they? And what went wrong? The recording ended. On Earth and Moon, the members of the Rama Committee relaxed, then started to examine the maps and photographs spread in front of them. Though they had already studied these for many hours, Commander Norton's voice added a dimension no pictures could convey. He had actually been there, had looked with his own eyes across this extraordinary inside-out world, during the brief moments while its age-long night had been illuminated by the flares. And he was the man who would lead any expedition to explore it. Dr. Pereira I believe you have some comments to make. Ambassador Bowes wondered briefly if he should have given the floor first to Professor Davidson, as senior scientist and the only astronomer. But the old cosmologist still seemed to be in a mild state of shock, and was clearly out of his element. All his professional career, he had looked upon the universe as an arena for the titanic, impersonal forces of gravitation, magnetism, radiation. He had never believed that life played an important role in the scheme of things, and he regarded its appearance on Earth, Mars, and Jupiter as an accidental aberration. But now, there was proof that life not only existed outside the solar system, but also had scaled heights far beyond anything that man had achieved, or could hope to reach for centuries to come. Moreover, the discovery of Rama challenged another dogma that Davidson had preached for years. When pressed, he would reluctantly admit that life probably did exist in other star systems, but it was absurd, he had always maintained, to imagine that it could ever cross the interstellar gulfs. Perhaps the Ramans had indeed failed, if Commander Norton was correct in believing that their world was now a tomb. But at least they had attempted the feat, on a scale that indicated a high confidence in the outcome. If such a thing had happened once, it must surely have happened many times in this galaxy of 100 billion suns, and someone, somewhere, would eventually succeed. This was the thesis, that, without proof, but with considerable arm-waving, Dr. Carlyle Pereira had been preaching for years. He was now a very happy man, though also a most frustrated one. Rama had spectacularly confirmed his views, but he could never set foot inside it, or even see it with his own eyes. If the devil had suddenly appeared and offered him the gift of instantaneous teleportation, he would have signed the contract without bothering to look at the small print.
"Yes, Mr. Ambassador, I think I have some information of interest. What we have here is undoubtedly a space ark. It's an old idea in the astronautical literature. I've been able to trace it back to the British physicist J.D. Bernal, who proposed this method of interstellar colonization in a book published in 1929. Yes, 200 years ago. And the great Russian pioneer Tsiolkovsky put forward somewhat similar proposals even earlier. If you want to go from one star system to another, you have a number of choices. Assuming that the speed of light is an absolute limit, and that's still not completely settled, despite anything you may have heard to the contrary."
There was an indignant sniff, but no formal protest from Davidson.
"You can make a fast trip in a small vessel, or a slow journey in a giant one.